Roger, I want to thank you for including me in your prayer. I don't know about Don, but I can speak for myself that when right before I get up and speak, somebody prays that my memory will be what it ought to be. I appreciate it. And I also appreciate the effort Ashton put in to pick songs that deal with the lesson tonight. And as you can see from the screen, I've entitled it A Scriptural Perspective on Fellowship. Or another way I put that, really, is what I'm trying to get at, is how the original source word is used in the Scriptures. The word fellowship gets used and bandied around a lot today. I mean, in the entertainment industry, I mean, we've just recently had a movie out, The Fellowship of the Rings. And you hear about fellowship halls and fellowship meals and all this. And the thought occurred to me that it's a word that's used a lot, but I had never really gone back and looked in the Scriptures to see how the Scriptures really used it in the sense of the original language, the original words. And that's really what you're going to see this evening is, I don't know, for lack of a better word, almost a research report on the effort I did to come up with the information and conclusions I have. It is not a full-blown study on fellowship and all the ramifications of it. I think Don has some thoughts for some follow-up lessons. Hopefully this will be kind of to stir our thinking, set some groundwork, and position each of us to do some more thinking on it. So again, a scriptural perspective on fellowship, how the original source word is used in the Scriptures. If you go to Merriam-Webster Dictionary, they give a short definition of a friendly relationship among people, the relationship of people who share interest or feelings, a group of people who have similar interest. Then down below that, they go in what they call a fuller definition. They say companionship or company. The second definition, they break it into two components. A community of interest, activity, feeling, or experience. A state of being, a fellow or associate is the second half of that second definition. The third is a company of equals or friends, an association. The next definition they provide is the quality or state of being camaraderie. I think I just mispronounced that. And they give an obsolete definition, according to Webster, of membership or partnership. Now, this definition does not include some academic related things, but did not pertain. So that's what the word fellowship means in today's language, as defined by a dictionary in today's language. And what I wanted to do was go back to the original Greek words that relate to what we would translate into fellowship and see what those are, what the definitions of those are, and then see how they're used in the Scriptures and what Scriptures they're in to kind of create a little bit of a database for further study. And the approach I took to do that is I started off with some Bible software called eSort. I don't know if you're familiar with it, but it is an excellent Bible software program. It's my favorite. And it also happens to be free, which is nice. But it is easy to use, and it's got a lot of power to it, as you'll see. I decided to use the translations of the King James Plus, and the Plus just means it had the Strong's numbers where you could see those, so that at key words you could see what the original Greek definition a word was and a brief definition associated with it. I decided to use the New King James Version, just a little easier to read, the American Standard Version, the New American Standard Bible, and the English Standard Version. You'll notice that I did not include the New International Version. And my reasoning for that is the translations that I decided to use are translations that put their focus on word-for-word translation. Whereas the New International Version, its focus is more on translating the thought in the original language into the thought into today's language. And since I was interested in how the words were used in the original language, I decided to stay away from the New International Version. The first thing I did is I didn't know what the Greek word for fellowship were. So I did a search for the word fellowship in each of the translations, especially the King James translation that had the Strong's numbers attached to it. And I limited my search to just the New Testament because I was interested in the Greek words. I compiled those search results into a single list of verses. Then I used the King James Plus translation to determine what the Greek words were used that ended up being translated into fellowship into the various translations. The King James, New King James, American Standard Version, the New American Standard Bible, and the English Standard Version. Once I had this, these Greek words that were translated at various times into fellowship, I compiled this Greek word list. Then I went back to my Bible software and I did a word search for each of these Greek words. This second word search resulted in the same passages that I had previously, plus a few other passages that the original language words were translated into something other than fellowship. I then pulled all those results together and gave some thoughts and considerations towards the implications. What I want to do is just kind of work you through this a little bit, and I know the text is going to be kind of small, but kind of give you a feel for where things are. And this lesson will be available on the website. You can download it, dig into it all you want. In fact, I'd encourage you to do that. And when I get through with the lesson this evening, I'll have at least one paper copy for the first come, first serve, if somebody's interested. But if you look at the results of the search for fellowship, ended up with in the New King James, the King James translation, there were 16 verses that came back with the word fellowship in it. The same search in the New King James came back with 15 verses. The American Standard Version, 17. The New American Standard Bible, 12. The English Standard Version, 8. And when you compiled all of these passages that were found in the word search, you ended up with a total of 21 different passages that in one translation or another was translated fellowship. And it's really not surprising that there would be some differences between translations, because that is the nature of translations. You're going to have some differences in how words are handled. But I was encouraged by the fact that, by and large, you were seeing the similar passages showing up in all of the translations. So as I said, with that, I then took the next step of identifying the Greek words that were included in those 21 passages. The first, according to Strong's number, was 2842, and it's the first row there, and I am not going to try to pronounce it. But it has with it its meaning of partnership, that is literally participation, or from a social intercourse, or from a benefaction, to communicate, communion, distribution, fellowship. The second word that came up was 2844, and if you look at that, it looks like the first two words have a similar root to them, so they're apparently fairly similar. And when you look at the meaning of the second word, 2844, it indicates that it's a sharer, an associate, a companion, has the words, linkages and concepts tied in with fellowship, partaker, and partner. The third word was the Greek word 3352 in the Strong's number, and it carries with it the idea of participation, that is intercourse or fellowship. And the last word, 4790, carries with it the idea to share in company with. That is co-participation in, communicate, have fellowship with, be partaker of. And at this point, I was really comforted by yet again, when you start looking at the original Greek words and working from a reliable English translation, that the original Greek words match up real close with the English translated words are. And that's the way it ought to be. It means the translators are doing their job. So I was comforted by that. And as I indicated, the next step was once I had those Greek words, I went back and did a search and came up with the results that you see here. With the four Greek words, 28:42, there were a total of 18 verses and 20 words that originated, that were translated from that Greek word. For 28:44, there were 10 verses and 10 words that were translated into some English word. 33:52, there was only a single occurrence of that word being used. There were three occurrences of 47:90 that was used. And altogether, that search resulted in 31 verses and 34 different words being identified. And you can see from the bottom of the list, if you can read it, they included passages all the way from Matthew all the way through Revelation. Okay, so what does all that mean? So I had all those passages. I had access to all the translation, and I knew which words were being identified in the English. So I went through and extracted all of the English words that were that the original Greek was translated into. And I ended up with the table that you see here. And I've got them ranked from top to bottom, left to right, from the highest count to the lowest. And not surprisingly, there were 67 times that the Greek words translated into fellowship. There were 21 times that the words were translated into part, partaker, or partakers. 18 times it translated into the concept of share, shared, sharers, or sharing. 14 times it translated into the concept of communion. 9 times into the concept of participants, participate, participation. 8 times into the concept of contribution. 4 times into the concept of partnership. 3 times communicate. 3 times taking part. 2 times it translated companions. It was translated as administration one time. And in that case, it wasn't administration as like an organization. It was administration as the activity of distributing and taking care of. One time it was translated as communication. One time as dispensation. One time as distribution. And even one time in English Standard Version, it was translated as plan. So all that's interesting, but what does it get you to? Because, you know, that, at this point that's just interesting, but it really, how do you put the pieces together to help you start getting a feel for what fellowship means and what's related to fellowship? And just looking at that list, at the bottom of the screen, that list is provided again. But each of those words in that list have some common points. Some things in common with each other. They all involve at least two, if not more, individuals. You can't be a partaker by yourself. You can't be a participant by yourself. If you're going to communicate, it takes two or more people. The other thing is, all of these words have in them implied the idea is of a sharing in a common interest. Implied also in that is relationships. Because, you know, it's kind of tough to be a partaker without having some kind of relationship with those you're partaking in. The same with partnership and taking part in it. The other thing that's implied is they all imply, some more directly than others, the idea of some purpose or some activity related to that relationship. You don't have a fellowship without some purpose and or activity associated with it, and you don't have a fellowship without some kind of relationship. And the other thing that I thought was real telling, and something I think we need to keep in our mind along with these other points, is there's nothing in these words in and of themselves to indicate that the individuals, the interests, the relationships, the purpose of the activities are approved or disapproved. It just says there's individuals, interest, relationships, purpose, and activity. It doesn't say whether it's to the benefit or good or bad or otherwise. I think that's something we need to remember when we start talking about fellowship. It doesn't necessarily mean it's a fellowship we ought to be involved in. Let's take a look at a few examples. And Larry was asking a little bit earlier whether the lesson was going to be long or short. And Larry, I really can't give you a good answer on that, so we'll just have to find out. It may go a little bit fairly quickly, or it may stretch out a little bit. And these examples are not necessarily in any order other than the order that was sorted, starting at Matthew and running on down. I just picked a few out, with the exception of the last one. And in Luke chapter 5, verses 8 through 10, it's actually verse 10 that has the word that was translated into fellowship. And you'll notice that I've got it highlighted by bolding it, putting it in italics, and underlining. But this passage reads, "But when Simon Peter taught, he fell down at Jesus' feet, knees, saying, 'Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord.' For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish that they had taken. And so also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, 'Do not be afraid. From now on you will be catching men.'" Well, here's the scriptures, and they're using the Greek word that is sometimes translated into fellowship. In this particular case, it's translated into partners. What's the who are the individuals involved in this relationship? Well, James, John, the sons of Zebedee, and Simon. You know, they're the individuals involved. There's a relationship there. What's their common interest? Fishing. What's their activity? Fishing. So, you know, here's the scriptures, and it's using the Greek word that translates fellowship, and it doesn't have any direct, or for that matter, indirect, spiritual significance. It's just a descriptor of a relationship and the fact that there is one. In Acts chapter 2, verse 42, in the English Standard Version, it reads, "And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers." Now, this is right after the day of Pentecost. We've got the converts, the new Christians, and they're devoting themselves to the teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and prayers. Well, in this case, what's the fellowship associated with? Well, following right behind the concept of teaching and following in the concept of where these individuals have in common, and they all just obeyed the gospel, that common interest is salvation and the gift through baptism. So that's also an example where the relationship is approved, because that was what God desired for these individuals to do. In Romans chapter 15, verse 26, "For the Macedonian and Achaia had been pleased to make some contribution for the poor among the saints in Jerusalem." That original word that sometimes is translated fellowship, in this case is translated contribution, because in this case they were contributing money to support the poor saints in Jerusalem. So in this particular case, there is a fellowship that involves monetary benevolent support. What will need further study is the idea of under what circumstances is monetary benevolent support appropriate and approved, and what circumstances is it not. That's beyond the scope of this evening's lesson. In 1 Corinthians 1:9, God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Very similar to the Acts 2:42, the idea of the fellowship of the Son. That fellowship, where the relationship is described or linked to Jesus Christ and the promises He's made for us and the requirements and the advantages and the benefits that we get through Jesus. In 1 Corinthians 10:16, and I am...
Thank you, Don.
Don asked me earlier if I wanted the clicker. And I thought, well, I'll just hit the button. I'll keep up with it. And I've missed the last five or six, and Don's been taking care of me. Wanted the benefits of fellowship. Thanks, Don. 1 Corinthians 10:16. The cup of blessing that we bless is not a participation in... Excuse me, I've got to learn how to read this. The cup of blessing that we bless, is it not a participation in the blood of Christ? The bread that we break, is it not a participation in the body of Christ? Just like the previous passage we read about, they used the word fellowship there. This time the Greek word is translated into participation, which is has a slightly different connotation to it. You know, an active involvement with others. But again, it's the idea of a fellowship, a relationship based on the blood of Christ. In 1 Corinthians 10:20, I imply that what pagan sacrifice they... I've got to learn how to talk again. No, I imply that what pagan sacrifice they offer to demons and not to God. I do not want you to be participants with demons. I said earlier there was no indication of whether fellowship in and of the word itself was approved or disapproved. Here's a passage that uses the words participants, but it's saying participants with the devils or demons, and it specifically states that that is not approved. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 7. And our hope for you is steadfast, because we know that you are partakers of the suffering, so also you will partake in the consolation. Again, making reference to our relationship to Christ and our active involvement in it. 2 Corinthians 6:14. Do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. For what partnership has righteousness with lawlessness? Or what fellowship has light with darkness? Again, it's that idea of here is an admonition that some relationships, some opportunities to fellowship is not pleasing to God. 2 Corinthians 8:23. As for Titus, he is my partner and fellow worker for your benefit. And as for our brothers, they are messengers of the churches, the glory of Christ. So here's a situation where Paul is talking specifically about another individual Titus, and he's making the point that they have a relationship. They have a common goal, common activities. They're working together. Earlier, I made mention of the fact that the English Standard Version in verse translated the Greek words into the for fellowships into plan. And that's Ephesians chapter 3, verse 9. And it says, and to bring light to everyone, what is the plan of... And to bring to light for everyone what is the plan of the mystery hidden for ages in God, who created all things. This is a case that I think we may get a little clearer meaning if we go over to New King James Translation. And to make all see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the ages has been hidden in God, who created all things through Christ Jesus. So this is making reference to God's plan that took place since prior to the creation of this world to result in the opportunity for our salvation. And that plan involved the relationships and the activities. Got one more example, but I want to make a summary point before we go on. Going back, I think we can see, not only from just looking at the words themselves, but from the examples that we've looked at, that when we start looking at how the scriptures use the words that are translated into fellowship, in other words, that they involve two or more people. They involve shared and common interest. There's an implication towards relationships. There's an implication towards a purpose or an activity associated with those relationships. And there's also, and I still think that it's something that we need to keep in our mind, is there's no inherent indication in the word itself whether those relationships are approved or disapproved. You've got to look at other details. You've got to look at the context to determine that. So as a matter of observation, we will have fellowship with individuals, groups, and activities. I don't know any way around that because we interact with people on a daily basis. But the question that I think we need to ask ourselves is, will we maintain the right type of fellowship relationships and activities? And that's going back to the context that I was talking about earlier. And my closing example is a little bit long, but it included an attitude that I think we all ought to have. An attitude that relates back to our fellowship with Christ. Philippians chapter 3, verses 7 through 14. Reading from the New King James Version. But what things were gained to me, these I have counted, Paul speaking. But what things were gained to me, these have I counted loss for Christ. And indeed I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Jesus Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already gained or that I am already perfected, but I press on, that I may lay hold of that which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting these things which are behind, and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. From this passage, we can see that Paul valued his fellowship with God and Christ so highly that he sacrificed other fellowships with other individuals, other activities, other possessions, so that he may maintain the fellowship of God. He also demonstrated that attitude that I'm going to do the best I can and I'm going to keep marching forward. Now the question I would have for us by way of invitation is, do we have that kind of attitude? Are we that determined to pursue our fellowship, to pursue our relationship with God, that we will make the sacrifices that Paul indicates that he's willing to make and did make? If you have not yet obeyed the gospel, and you know what you need to know because you've heard it presented, and you're ready to confess that Jesus is the Christ, you'll have the opportunity in a moment to come forward and be baptized. If you do not have that level of knowledge, I encourage you to study. We have individuals here that would be more than happy to study with you to reach that decision. If you have obeyed the gospel and there are aspects in your life that indicate that you can't read this passage that we just read and say, hey, that's my approach, that's my attitude, you'll have the opportunity, if it's appropriate, to come forward and make public acknowledgement of your sins or to request the prayers of the saints. At this time, the invitation is before us. If it applies, please come forward as we stand and sing.